Who will follow Jesus in his work of love, leading others to him, lifting prayers above? You can't be a follower of Jesus without being evangelistic. It's what he called his disciples to do. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. What he came to do, to seek and to save that which was lost. To follow Jesus, we're going to have to make his mission our mission, to lead others to him. In Mark's Gospel, the 16th chapter, he records for us Jesus' final words to his apostles. Earlier, he had sent them into what we sometimes call the limited commission, because it says they were sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But this one is the great commission because of its scope, where he says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." Does that sound overwhelming to you? Go into all the world? I want to challenge you tonight to narrow your focus to go into your world. Because you can do that. When we think of evangelism or making disciples or leading others to Jesus, we are sometimes overwhelmed by this thought. And it seems impossible to us, especially in a day and age where it seems like people are just not interested in the gospel. They don't want to hear it, and they don't want to change. And so we've become pessimists. So I want to encourage you tonight to think of it as going into your world. Because when you do that, you won't have to go very far. My friend David Banning was telling me about a time he was preaching on evangelism at home. And he especially was focusing on visitors to the assembly. He said, "These are our best prospects because they've come to us. We don't have to go. They're in our door." And so he was talking to the young people about being certain that you seek out teenagers who are visiting and you invite them to come sit with you and you make certain they know where Bible class is and you don't just clump together after services, spread out and find them. And he thought they were just sitting right on the edge of their seats, and he was getting right into their hearts. And he said he watched after the closing prayer, and they all together went out the side door. He called them together at the next assembly and said, "Did you not hear what I was preaching on?" They said, "Oh, we didn't know you were talking to us." I'm afraid we're going to get to the day of judgment. And Jesus is going to say, "Why didn't you go make disciples?" "Well, Lord, we didn't know you were talking to us." Can't follow Jesus without leading others to him, making his mission to seek and to save the lost our mission. And we see that reflected in three apostles all in a row, right in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. I want to encourage you to open your Bible to that passage. John chapter 1. And I ask that you start reading with me from the Word of God in verse 35. John 1, verse 35, beginning. Again, the next day, John, now that's John the Baptist, was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and beheld them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" I remember when I was a teenager and my mother had asked me a question and I had answered her with a question. And she said, "Why do you always answer a question with a question?" And I very cleverly responded, "What do you mean?" And then I got grounded. But when Jesus said, "What do you seek?" and they responded with a question, "Where are you staying, teacher?" That's an indication of we'd like some time where we can tell you what we're seeking. And we can ask you more questions, time where we won't be interrupted. "Where are you staying, teacher?" And Jesus said, "Come and see." They came therefore and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. When you go into your world, number one, you can lead your family to Jesus. I told you, you don't have to go far. Lead your family to Jesus. The first person Andrew thought when he investigated Jesus and found this is the Christ, this is the Messiah we're searching for, the first person he thought of, "I've got to tell my brother. I've got to tell Simon." We don't know a lot about Andrew in the Gospels. In fact, almost every time he is mentioned, this phrase follows: the brother of Simon Peter. And it's almost as if the reader needs that information to identify. It'd be like you saying to somebody, "Hey, I saw Andrew the other day." And the other person goes, "Andrew, let's see. I can't think of who that is. You know, Peter's brother. Oh, that one. Yeah, I got him." How would you like to be known, not for who you are, but who your brother is? Think of it. The guy even gets cut out of the VBS song, "Peter and James and John in a Sailboat." Andrew was in the boat too. He was not in that inner circle of Peter, James, and John that Jesus had. We don't have a record of one sermon he preached. We know he did, but they didn't survive. He likely wrote letters like the other apostles did. They're not in our New Testament. But I want you to recognize the great thing Andrew did when he led his brother to Jesus and brought him to Jesus. We have found the Messiah. Do you not see we wouldn't have Peter's confession if Andrew didn't first find his own brother Simon? Peter would not have preached the first sermon on the day of Pentecost had Andrew not led his family to Jesus. We wouldn't have 1st and 2nd Peter if Andrew had not gone into his world. You can lead your family to Jesus. The Scriptures speak of the importance of this family evangelism. In fact, we are told why God chose Abraham, the father of the faithful, in Genesis chapter 18. So keep your marker here in John 1, but go with me to Genesis chapter 18. And I want you to notice what the Lord said starting at verse 18. Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed? For I have chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. Think of that. All of the descendants of Abraham, through which God said would become like the sand of the seashore and the stars of heaven, all from one man whom God said is going to command the generations to follow. From one man. How many times do we talk about Noah preaching all those years, building the ark, and Noah didn't convert one person? Well, is that so? The Scriptures say, in reverence, he prepared an ark for the salvation of who? His household. Noah didn't get on the ark by himself. It was his wife and their three sons and their three daughters-in-law. 8 souls, Peter said, saved by water. Noah went into his world and led his family to the Lord. Don't you love what Paul said when he talked about Timothy's sincere faith, he said, that dwells in you? But he said, first, it was in your grandmother, Lois. And you know what she did? She led her daughter to Jesus, Eunice. And you know what Eunice did? She led her son, Timothy, to Jesus. Go into your world. You don't have to go far. We're going to lead others to Him. We can start by leading our family to Jesus. It was my senior year at Texas A&M. On a Wednesday night, when we stood for the invitation song, and an older gentleman responded to the gospel call. And it turned out that he was the husband of a member who I assumed was a widow. She was always sitting without a husband. And he had been unfaithful to the Lord for 30 years. We asked, well, what after 30 years brought you back? He said, I watched my wife and I tried to discourage her, but she stayed faithful. And for 30 years, she kept leading her family to Jesus. Go into your world. Make Jesus' mission your mission. Lead your family to the Lord. The second way you can go into your world, not just lead your family to Jesus, but as our text continues in John 1, you can lead your friends to the Lord. Now, folks, this time of year, every year, I have an allergy to pollen, and it inflames my vocal cords. I felt like I was not able to participate much today in the beautiful singing and visiting at the potluck before. In fact, I just tried to stay with somebody who would do all the talking, so I sat by Art. And I'm trying to save my voice for what I came to do, so I want you to bear with me. John chapter 1 continues at verse 43. The next day he purposed to go forth into Galilee and found Philip. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Philip was likely a fisherman, like Peter and Andrew. He's from the same city, it's a coastal town. And again, we don't know much about Philip. Every time in Matthew and Mark, the apostles are listed, it's always Philip and Bartholomew. They're companions. They're always listed together. But in John's gospel, there is no mention of Bartholomew, but there is a Nathanael. And here we have Philip and Nathanael together. Now, Bartholomew is a surname, kind of like son of Ptolemy. And it's likely that this is the same person, just went by different names. Nathanael, Bartholomew. But I want you to recognize that the first person Philip thought of when he found the Messiah was, "I've got to tell Nathanael," or Bartholomew. "I've got to tell my close companion that we've been looking for him, we've been waiting for him, we've been watching for him, and we have found the Messiah." You can lead your friends to Jesus, those who are closest to you, those you already have a relationship with, you can tell them about who you found. A few years ago, we had a stray cat that wandered into our garage, and our kids became fascinated with this stray cat, and they would go out and play with this cat. And soon after, he had a bowl and a bed and a collar. He's not a stray anymore. I mean, you got a pet. And so Max was part of our family. And one day they went out to play with Max, and he wasn't anywhere to be found. And they checked all the places he normally liked to hide, and we even got in the car and drove around with the windows down, calling his name, as if cats come when they're called. But we did this, and we had a picture that we blew up on a big poster board, and we posted it all over the neighborhood with these words, "Lost cat." We did that for Max, a stray. And our neighbors across the street and on either side of our house are just as lost in sin. And we don't do a thing. Go into your world and lead your friends to Jesus. Who did Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 and verse 24 assemble? Remember, Peter's coming. The Apostle Peter is coming to my house and he's going to tell us all that he's been commanded by the Lord. So in Acts 10 and verse 24, it says he assembled his relatives, there's his family, and his close friends. We've got to tell them. They've got to know. He wasn't going to pass up this opportunity that they wouldn't be able to hear. In Mark chapter 5, we have a miracle that Jesus performed. Remember the man who was possessed by the legion of demons? In Mark's Gospel chapter 5, that was the same miracle where the demons were then cast into the swine, and then the swine went off into the sea and drowned. First case of swine flu. But I want you to notice what Jesus said. You can also use deviled ham there, Jeff. This man was then clean. He was healed. He was in his right mind. And he said to Jesus, "Let me go with you." They kicked Jesus out of town. He was causing trouble. "Let me go with you, Jesus." And Jesus said, "No." Who will follow Jesus? This man said, "I will." And Jesus said, "No." Why would he do that? Notice what he said to him in verse 19 of Mark 5. He did not let him, but said, "Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. Has the Lord done great things for you? Then go and report it to your people. Has He shown mercy on you? Then go and proclaim it to your people in your world and lead your friends to Jesus. Because do you know what happens when your friends come to the Lord? They become your family, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. I'm the youngest. Four children, the only boy. I was growing up and we all lived in the same house. People would say, "Do you have siblings?" And I would say, "Yes, I have three sisters and no bathrooms," because that's the way it was in my house growing up. But you know, in the Lord, I got a lot of brothers. A lot more sisters. Fathers in the faith, go into your world and make your friends your family. Who will follow Jesus leading others to Him? Well, Andrew found his brother, and Philip found his friend, Nathanael, and said, "We found him, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth." And I want you to notice how Nathanael then responded in verse 46. Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" That's all he heard, Nazareth. And either it was too insignificant a city for the Son of David, the Son of God, the greatest story ever told to come from. Later we learn that Nathanael's from Cana of Galilee. You look on the map and those two cities are pretty close together. Cana and Nazareth could be a little town rivalry there. But that's all he could think of. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? When you go into your world, you're going to have people, even those close to you, who are like Nathanael. So I want you to see number three, you can lead the skeptic to Jesus, the misinformed, using this simple phrase. How does Philip respond? And he said to him, "Come and see." I want to invite you to come to our gospel meeting. Oh, well, you're the ones who don't believe in music. Come and see. Oh, well, you're the ones who think you're the only ones going to heaven. Well, you may have heard that from somebody else. Why don't you come and see if you detect that spirit? Come see for yourself and make up your own mind. Come and see. Lead the skeptic to the Lord. There was an afternoon that we'd gone to Dunkin' Donuts in Pasadena to get coffee. And my great mentor, D. Bowman, was leading the way, and we got there and there was a young man who was reading his Bible at one of the tables, and Brother Bowman walked over to him. And I thought, well, I'm going to get the secret of evangelism right here. I mean, I'm going to watch and see what he does, and then I'll know what to say. And so he just walked up to the guy and said, "Excuse me, sir. Understandest thou what thou readest?" See, he used the King James. But just took it right out of the book. Exactly how Philip started his conversation with the eunuch. Do you understand what you were reading? It is amazing how complicated we make this. And we get so far ahead about some question they're going to ask that we can't answer. When if we just take it out of the script, come and see. Come and see. Get all the information. Open your own eyes. Listen with your ears. Come and see. And we'll lead them to the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, I want you to notice how Peter said, we are preparing ourselves not with just the right words, but the right spirit. 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 15, look what he says. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to anyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. We need to understand that there might be some people with whom we have one opportunity, and that's all. So we got to be prepared not just with what to say, but how to say it. With gentleness and reverence. Every conversation does not have to be a debate, but can be concluded with, "Come and see." Later on, Nathanael is approached by Jesus. And Jesus identifies something that apparently was a very private moment in Philip's life where he knew where he was. Nobody else could have seen him. Nobody else was there. Jesus said, "I saw you under the fig tree." And he realizes this is the King of Israel. And notice what Jesus said to him. "Because I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these." When we tell someone, "Come and see," and they come with open hearts, receptive minds, willing to hear, they shall see greater things than these. Go into your world. You can't be a follower of Jesus without imitating His mission and leading others to Him. Don't decide for people. Don't make up their mind for them. Let them. And you tell them, "Come and see." When we go into our world and share the gospel with our family and friends and the misinformed, we give a gift that keeps on giving. Church several years ago was going to have a gospel meeting, and a little eighth grade boy decided he was going to invite his best friend at school to come to the meeting, and he did. And the boy came. And he kept coming. And later on, as a ninth grade boy, that friend decided he needed to be baptized into Christ. And he was. By this time, his family were becoming a little concerned. What's he got himself into over there? We need to go check this out. And they did. And they kept going. And in time, the brother and the sister of the boy and his father and his mother became Christians. Those three siblings went on to marry in the Lord. They all have children who have been baptized into Christ. And those children are now bringing up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and all because one eighth grade boy invited his best friend. That best friend is an elder of the Southside Church of Christ in Pasadena. Go into your world. Let the Word of God do its work. Trust in God to give the increase. Who will follow Jesus? It could be tonight that the first decision you need to make about that is with your own heart. What you need to do to respond to Jesus' commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Do you need to do that today? Perhaps you've been distracted, wandered away. Perhaps you need the prayers and encouragement of your brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're going to sing a song to encourage you to make whatever need you have in the gospel known and to do it right now while we together stand up and sing.